Live from Liverpool, we need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
Hello, everybody. It's time indeed to talk about ghosts. It's a Sunday. It's time for the Sunday sermon of the paranormal and supernatural. Yes, it is. Although it may not sound like it, I'm as rough as a bear's backside. Yes, I am. Why, you may ask? Well, as our patrons found out midweek, I had the first dose of the AstraZeneca vaccine last night. Half 12 yesterday afternoon. Now, if, like, my sister is a year younger than me, and we obviously share a lot of genetic makeup, and she had 3 days out the game with it. I had it and was like, right, okay. Apparently you start to feel rough later in the night. Didn't. Felt fine. Went to bed. Woke up at 5:30 a.m. this morning, shivering, shaking like a pooing whippet, and I just couldn't get back asleep. My joints were aching. So that's me right now. I have a temperature. I have flu-like symptoms. Am I still doing a podcast? Yes, I am. Might it get delirious? Well, it wouldn't be any different than a normal Sunday, but yes, it might. I am dosed up on paracetamol and other accoutrement, and we will see how this show goes. It might be one of the better shows. You never know. A little bit of vaccine in you, it's good for what ails you. So, Becca's not yet had hers, obviously. She will be getting, well, she needs to get the other one, the Pfizer vaccine, because there's history of clots in her family and all this. Carry on. I won't go into more detail, but, you know, that's what she's looking to do. But yeah, I'm having the worst. Yeah, I told you previously, haven't I, that I've given up drinking. And let me tell you right now, this is like the worst hangover I've ever had. Imagine a day where you went out drinking from 10 in the morning, you drank nothing but dark spirit till like 3 in the morning, and you were stood up for the entirety of it, and you're in your 40s. That's what this feels like now. It's not a hangover because I don't drink, but I tell you what, it's made me realise that I do not miss drinking one iota. Who chooses to feel like this? I said to Becca before, you know what this makes me realise? There are people who would have got absolutely blotto last night, probably made a load of bad decisions, spent a load of cash, and have woke up feeling like this. And go, yeah, but it was a good night, wasn't it? No, you lunatic. So yeah, that's where we are right now. So as I've just said that, I thought, oh, I think I'm going to faint. So I didn't faint. So that's good. But if you do hear a sudden thud and then the podcast ends, then it means I've fainted. And hopefully that won't happen. But thank you as ever to all of you wonderful people for your correspondence. And I hope that you're all well, by the way. Let me just say that right off the bat. I hope you've had a very good week. As our Patreons learned, I've had a very stressful week. I'm about to go into an even more stressful week in work, working a solid 7 days, yes. And I'm not looking forward to it, I'll be perfectly honest. No. So much so, I've been Googling, like, little huts in the Caribbean where you can go and catch fish and live, because I just don't want to do it. I'm going to have to, of course, because that's capitalism for you. But yeah, anyway, how have you all been? I hope it's all been great and fantastic. I've got a little funny story before we go into our episode proper. Again, this was regaled to the Patreons midweek, but I basically had a non-contact fight with a scally in the Asda, the self-serve department. Oh, it was Tesco, actually. Anyway, supermarket, you know, like a Walmart if you're American or whatever. And they have a self-serve checkout. Now, I stood next to the scally, and for language reasons, let me explain what a scally is. So a scally is like a little ferret of a human being. You know, they wear all black trackies, track suits, skinhead. They've got scars over the face. They think they're dead nuts, you know, and they have boom, boom, boom music coming out of the Renault Clio with tinted windows that they've put on themselves. Them sort of people. So I'm stood next to one of those guys, and he looked at me through the glass partition and like dropped his first item into the thing. And I was like, why is he doing that? Fair enough, I do look like a wizard now because my hair's all out and puffety, and I wear long black cloaks, so I do look a bit like a wizard. But he was like, dumpf, in his thing. So I was like, well, you know what? I'm not going to be intimidated in a self-checkout. So I got up my first item, dumpf, louder. So he looked at me, and I didn't make eye contact. I just carried on as it was. He looked at me and thought, right. So he pulls out like a leg of lamb or something and throws it down, boom, like the staff are going, Jesus, what's going on over there? So I then go, right, well, fair enough. We're on now. This is on. So I have a bag of apples into the thing. He looks at me through the glass again. I'm still not making eye contact. I'm thinking, I'm onto you, and I'm going to let you know that you cannot bully people who look like wizards. So then he pulls out, I don't know what he pulled out because I couldn't see, but it must have been like the head of an Irishman or something, because it was just gunk on the desk. And I was like, right, okay, I'm going to have to do one better. Put my hand in my basket, and my last item were eggs. And I think We all know what happened there. I gently placed them in the shopping basket thing, paid and left. And yes, so I technically lost a non-contact fight with a scally. Damn those eggs. Made a good omelette though. Anyway, thank you to everyone who's got in touch over the last week. We have a plethora of stories for you today, and I'm so excited to read them all to you. And don't forget, if you have a story that you're sitting on and you think, I want to tell you, I want you to tell people my story, then email it to contact@talkaboutghosts.com and I will read it out, for that is what we do here. And also thank you, of course, we couldn't do the show without our Patreons, literally the lifeblood of the show. And when you go over there, you get two extra shows each and every week. There's a back catalogue if you're bored and you think, you know what, I've got nothing to listen to tomorrow, all my podcasts are done, join Patreon. Go over there. Go to patreon.com/we need to talk about ghosts. And there's over 100 odd shows that you can just download and listen to at your leisure. But of course, when people sign up to Patreon, they also get a thank you song. And I do that with my guitar. The guitar is indeed well and truly out. And we have 6 fantastic new Patreons. It's growing over there, people, it is. We have the wonderful Tony Evans, Lisa C, Floss Ward, Amy Chamberlain, Beth Crawford, and Jen McNeil Holder. Yes, we do. Lots of names, Kev. How are you going to fit them all into a song? Well, I'll tell you, Kev. Thanks, Kev. We're going to do a little bit of a Bob Dylan ripoff. Okay, let's do it. There are big moves over on the Patreon. We got people getting all those extra shows. We got Tony Evans and Lisa C. We got Floss Ward, Amy Chamberlain, Beth Crawford, and Jenny McNeil Holder. Holder. Ended it on a 7th. There we go. A little bit of Bob Dylan for everyone there. I think we can all agree. I like Bob Dylan. He's a good egg. Anyway, guys, thank you to Tony, to Lisa, to Floss, to Amy, to Beth, to Jen. And be like those guys. Go and find out why they're getting all those extra shows by going to patreon.com/we need to talk about ghosts. Right. No Week and Weird this week. Let's just jump right into the spook. I'm about to faint. I didn't faint. I'm fine, everyone. I just had a glass of water and realised probably not to talk in elongated sentences, which is not good for me, really, because that's what I do. I'm a bit of a waffler. So if you've got your finger press hovering over the last 9 of the 3 9s and about to press dial, don't worry. I am fine. You know, when I say fine, I mean relatively. Anyway, let's get to some spooky stories. And our first one today comes in from Andrea. She's a repeat sender in her and she always has a spooky tale for us. So this is Andrea's story. Hi, Kevin Becker. Hi. Hi. I was listening to your amazing podcast as usual. Aw, bless you. And you asked for more stories. Yes, I did. I've sent my scariest experiences in before, but I've had a few more that you might be interested in. We are indeed, Andrea. We are indeed. So let's begin. After my grandfather's passing, my mum inherited some money. She really wasn't expecting it. My grandfather loved Hawaii, so my parents decided to take us on a vacation in honour of him. I should note, my maternal grandmother was of Hawaiian descent, but my mum's family lived through the Depression and World War II, so they worked hard but very rarely vacationed. This trip was epic. We snorkeled with sea turtles, helicoptered over tropical rainforests, walked near an active volcano, took a glass-bottomed boat ride over coral reefs, and dined at a few luaus. Our accommodation was nice too, all except for one. Whilst visiting the island of Kauai, we stayed at a hotel which was very different from the rest of our hotels. You see, most were very near the nice sandy beaches, full of tourists and near restaurants, etc. This hotel, however, was dark, near a rocky cliff, and not crowded with visitors. In fact, we rarely seen anyone else. The layout was like an apartment with 3 bedrooms, a full kitchen, and a big living room. It was by far the biggest one we'd stayed in. My parents took the master bedroom, of course, and my younger brother was put in the room next to them. In the back, there was a room with 2 twin beds, so my sister and I had to share. Being a young adult, I didn't really like this arrangement, because I've always been a night owl, and my studious sister wanted to keep her school sleep schedule because she was starting a new year in high school shortly after we returned. So the first night, I was watching some TV and told her I would take the bed nearest the door, since I wanted to stay up later. so she took the bed near the window. When I finally was ready to go to sleep, I entered the room and it had a weird vibe. I felt like it was cramped, even though it had enough room to have two twin beds, plus a nightstand, plus a huge dresser on the opposite wall. It was very plain compared to the other rooms. There were no tropic sunset frames one would expect. Instead, there were two crudely carved wooden tiki masks hanging on the wall. That was it. Now, I'm not talking about those colourful tiki masks that everyone associates with Hawaiian decor. No, these were not ornate or even carefully made. The two masks had different expressions, but both shared a common element. The teeth were sharpened into points like a shark, and the noses and eyes were either showing anger or fear. I noted the creepy masks, but decided that maybe this hotel was going with a less traditional decor theme. I always sleep with the bedroom door closed, but I hesitated because I felt like I needed the light from the hall. As I was trying to fall asleep, I felt like someone was in the room. I just tried to concentrate on sleep, and then I felt a hand on my ankle. I kid you not, I thought my sister was pranking me, so I jolted up to catch her, but there were two things wrong with this assertion. Number one, my sister is not a jokester. In fact, she was very serious for her age. And two, she had not moved from her bed. I realised that I also heard nothing. I just felt a hand grab me. Of course, I had that sinking sick feeling come over me and immediately covered myself up with my blanket. I shivered from fright and thought about my options. Waking up my parents was not an option. As I mentioned in my previous story about paranormal activity happening in our family home, my parents were no-nonsense kind of people. They were too busy to believe or to be bothered with spirits or ghosts or the supernatural. So, like many other listeners to your podcast, I somehow willed myself to sleep. Of course, the next day was fine because we went out sightseeing, but when we came back, I told my family that I was going to sleep on the couch. My sister objected to that idea, which didn't surprise me because she was a very regimented type of person. So, I acquiesced on the condition that we switch beds. I wanted the bed by the window. So night two went easy breezy lemon squeezy for me. We left Kauai for Maui and I couldn't have been happier. But that's not everything. Sometime later, when we got back and settled into our normal lives, my sister brought up that room. She slept fine the first night when she was near the window. But when I insisted we switch beds, she had a horrible night sleeping in the bed near the door. I told her about getting grabbed, but by then tried to play it down. She shared that her blankets were yanked off her halfway. She thought I'd done it and had got up to confront me, but like with my scenario, I was fast asleep. My book smart sister was really intrigued by what happened and also remembered how that room had two tiki masks. She did some real research, in brackets before Google was a thing, and found out that traditional Hawaiian tiki masks were carved from wood and serve to protect people from evil spirits. Make of that what you will. Thanks for reading this and stay healthy and safe. Andrea. Wow, Andrea. Oh my lord. Being grabbed by the ankle in a strange bed is the stuff of nightmares, Andrea. Oh my Jesus. And we will get onto your second story shortly. Just reminded me, though, that story did, of one of the most embarrassing things I've ever done in my life. So the first time I met Becca's mum, we were going out to celebrate someone's birthday. I think it was a stepdad, actually. Anyway, everything was going fine, you know, very polite, very cordial, as you do. And just at the end of the night, her mum and her stepdad were getting into a taxi and we were going to a tiki bar, okay, which was around the corner. So Becca's mum's like, so what are you two guys going to do now? And I said, oh, we're probably just going to go to the tiki bar around the corner. And she went, oh, okay. And went to get in the taxi. Now, for some reason, best known to the devil himself, or why my brain works in such a way, my brain went, is there a chance that she heard titty bar? As in like a strip club. And so, what did Kev do? Kev raced over to the taxi, held the door, and said, oh, sorry, just to let you know, I said tiki bar then, not titty bar. And her mother looked at me and said, oh, okay. Because she's a very polite woman, and she drove off. And I was like, thank God I put that to bed. And Becca was mortified. She was like, why would you even think to do that. And I was like, I just didn't want to think I was taking you to a strip club. You know, I'm trying to give the best impression. Do you remember? Well, you didn't do that with that last sentence. So it's now gone in the annals of history of how to not make a very good first impression. But, you know, we've been here 10 years now, so it mustn't have been too bad. Anywho, let's get your second story, Andrea. Yes, we shall. During college, I had to volunteer my time in the community. A friend at church knew someone that was an activities director at a prominent convalescent home. I don't want to disclose the name associated with the home, because this is very familiar in my hometown. Needless to say, it was pretty fun, and I ended up doing more than just the required community service hours. The director became a good friend, and when I decided to take a semester off school, in brackets, I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life, she asked if I wanted to help another director in his department. I thought this was a good opportunity because it could become a full-time job. In brackets, I was unsure about college or getting a job at that point in my life. The main part of this home was an old brick building that had a basement and 5 upper floors. There were newer buildings behind the original, and most of the residents lived in the updated version. The main building was going through renovations, so the director I was working with had to move his office to a temporary area. For some reason, his temporary office was on the 5th floor of the original brick building. Now, these temporary offices were in fact rooms meant for elderly residents. Each office was basically a bedroom with a private handicap accessible bathroom. I'm not sure how many rooms each floor had, but the hall on either side was really long, and the rooms were all empty. I was given an office next to his and tried to do my best at organising his paperwork, send emails and answer phones. I understood why he liked working up there, because it was nice and quiet, but that is exactly why I did not like being there. Even though the rooms were empty, there was a creepy void to them, and I always felt like I was being watched. The main stairway was about 5 to 6 rooms from my office, so I would try not to look into the empty rooms. Occasionally, I would hear whispers, but could not decipher what was being said. As much as I could, I would volunteer to go and run errands throughout the rest of the buildings. The director I was helping worked with housekeeping, and one day asked me to track down a housekeeper who was cleaning the chapel. I jumped at the chance. So as I enter the chapel, I don't see her, but I can hear someone having a conversation, and it was coming from the men's bathroom. I hesitate because the talking stopped, so I don't enter. I decided to go into the woman's restroom, and as I look around, I know it's empty. The bathroom door opens all of a sudden, and we nearly scare each other to death. I didn't hear her coming, and she didn't hear me inside. After that, we had a good laugh, because we each thought the other was a ghost. Then she said, very matter-of-factly, I usually see the men in the chapel. She shared that she's seen things all the time. The reason why I rarely scared her was because every time she goes into the chapel, she feels like she's unwelcome. She started announcing herself when she goes into rooms that are empty, as if a living person was there. In all reality, the residents who came to live at this home stay until they pass on. After talking to her, I asked both directors if ghostly experiences were common, and both admitted it was a relatively accepted fact that the place was haunted. So haunted that even, quote, non-believers didn't dispute the reputation. I decided to go back to college because I couldn't handle working at a haunted place. Thanks for keeping me spooky scared during a time that I am more scared of the living. Andrea. And she said she'll send me separate information about the location. And she did. And wow, terrifying. Well, Andrea, thank you so much. What a terrifying series of stories. Yes, it was. A duo of duplicity, of demonic devilness. Yeah. That was a very failed attempt at doing some alliteration there. But terrifying nonetheless. Thank you so much, Andrea. And don't forget, if you have a story like Andrea's, doesn't have to be identical, but you can send her in to contact@talkaboutghosts.com and I will read it out. For that is what we do. Now, our next story I love. Now, I love all of our stories, of course, but you'll see why. Because this is a callback. Yes, it is. You'll recall a few weeks ago on Week and Weird, we'd done a story, or we told a tale, of some guy who'd went snooping with a Freedom of Information Access request and had found out about an exorcism that took place in St. Anne's Hospital in Dorset. And he found out that, you know, a priest had been in. They didn't publicise it, didn't go to the press. But on these information requests, he found out a priest had gone in, done an exorcism and gave all of the workers Holy Communion. Such were the activity, or such was the activity there. Anyway, then I get contacted by a gentleman named Carl. And Carl writes, "Hi Kev, hi. Firstly, you've been a lifesaver during lockdown. Oh, bless you. I've really enjoyed listening to you and Becca and, of course, the next door's cat." Yes, that naughty cat. "You've cheered me up no end, and so I look forward to Sundays when I go to bed early and listen to both episodes back to back." Well, thank you, Carl. Anyway, I'm writing to you as I nearly fell out of bed last night when you did the Week in Weird story about the psychiatric hospital, St. Anne's. I'm a psychiatric nurse and spent my early career working there, from 2000 to 2010, to be precise. The hospital is as you imagine, in brackets, well, the old part, as turn-of-the-century asylums go, perched on the top of a cliff overlooking the beautiful Dorset coastline. I no longer work there, as I now work in a specialist community team looking after women in pregnancy and postnatally who are experiencing problems with their mental health, but I do go back to St. Anne's for meetings and training. I had no idea this had been going on until last night, so I'm going to do a little bit of digging to see what actually has been happening. I've been meaning to send you my story of a couple of my experiences whilst working there. They were always stories about sightings, grey ladies, legless men floating down corridors, but you would expect tales to get embellished over the years. So below is my story. I was assigned to a general admissions type ward, where we assessed adults who had generally been detained under the Mental Health Act. On one shift, we had a particularly unwell gentleman admitted who'd been violent towards staff and other patients, and so for his own safety, we needed to medicate him and move him to another ward where he would be nursed safely and in a low-stimulus environment. Obviously, he politely refused the medication I offered him, so we had to get a team of people down to the ward to help him, so I could give him an injection to enable us to safely move him. I went to the clinic room to draw up the medication, and I have to say, my heart was racing. He was a known violent guy and had rarely hurt people in the past, and it was always a really stressful time when we had to restrain people to try and ultimately help them when they were unable to help themselves. You never knew how it was going to go. So I did what I had to do, and as I came out of the clinic room, in brackets, as a side note, the clinic room used to be the cleaner's cupboard and it was tiny. Tray in hand, along with the syringe on and a few other bits I needed, I came from the clinic and turned around, smacked right into someone and dropped my tray. I immediately apologised and hurriedly picked everything up and looked up to see who I'd bumped into. But there was no one there. I had too much adrenaline pumping through me to really comprehend the situation and scurried on down to deal with my unwell chap. I gave him his sedative injection and then afterwards had to take his vital signs to make sure he was physically okay. He looked me straight in the eyes and said, "She didn't manage to stop you then. Well, at least she tried." I felt my blood run cold, and it was one of those moments where my legs felt totally independent of the rest of my body. I stumbled up the corridor, went back to the clinic room, and for about 5 minutes just sat on the floor trying to compose myself and trying not to throw up. I've never told any of my colleagues, mainly because there were so many ghost stories floating around, and most people just dismissed them, and I didn't want to be dismissed as another story. Nothing else happened to me in the hospital until about a year before I left. I was working on a ward directly above the one just mentioned. It was another one of the old original wards. The sluice room, in brackets, where the washing machines, clean linen, etc. were kept, was across a landing, so I had to unlock the big old oak door to exit the ward and open another big old door on the other side of the landing into a corridor. I could not go down there. It felt like there was something terrible down there, something that didn't want me to go down there. It made me feel sick to the stomach. Interestingly, no one else had a problem with going down there, and as the nurse in charge of most of my shifts, I sent other members of staff down there if something was needed, apart from one night shift where my colleague was on a break and we had an admission and I needed clean bedding. I honestly thought my heart was going to stop. I'd never moved so fast in all my life. I've never, ever been so scared. But more interestingly, this ward closed a number of years ago as there was a new part of the hospital built, and that ward is now offices. So I'm thinking, this is where the office staff have been experiencing all the paranormal activity lately. I totally believe the story. And I've met Mike the chaplain, and he wouldn't be calling in other people to help banish any spirits if he didn't think something was going on. Sorry that went on a bit, but I was dumbstruck and thought I needed to tell you my story. Carl. Wow, Carl. Wow, indeed. That is horrible. I am so intrigued as to what the hell you bumped into. And also, because the guy who was, you know, sadly having to be sedated, etc., if he knew about whatever you've bumped into, because that's what's implied, isn't it? If he says, she didn't stop you then, at least she tried. If he's implying that he knows a female presence is about to try and stop you from coming to sedate him. Now, does that mean that presence is attached to him? Or is it in the hospital and has made herself aware to him as he's arrived? And he's like, she's been like, don't worry, Dan. I'm the resident hog case here. I'll try and knock all the needles out of his end, I will. Because he's, of course, a cockney geezer. So, Carl, that is amazing. Thank you so much. And at the start of that email, you said you're going to do a bit more digging. So if you've got any more information on that, by all means, send it in. Because I think we can all agree. That's terrifying. So as ever, guys, if you're sat on a story, a terrifying tale of titillation, then send it in to contact@talkaboutghosts.com. And don't forget, we are still doing Zoom calls with people, okay, where we can arrange a time to actually have a conversation. They tend to be longer episodes. This episode in itself is going to be a little bit shorter than usual because I'm in the state I'm in. And it took me literally 3 hours to get, as I'm looking now on the counter, 26 minutes of audio with many stops, starts, pauses for toilets and drinks and stuff. Not that you need to know any of that, but you know, I thought I would share with it being a relatively shorter episode. I do still, of course, owe my patrons a paranormal podcast for a Sunday, so they're going to get that today. And we're going to look at calls from the dead. Yes, telephone calls from the dead. It was a recent article in 14 Times, and we're going to look more into that over on Patreon right now. So if you'd like to become a patron, go to patreon.com/we need to talk about ghosts. And over there, you will hear me talking about phone calls from the dead, which I think we've actually had a story in the past about phone calls from the dead, haven't we? Pretty sure we have. Anyway, guys, it is a shorter episode because I'm dying on my feet. In the meantime and in between time, take care of yourselves and each other, and I'll be back with you next Sunday when we have some amazing stories. I've just received one, which I will save for next week, and it's terrifying. Let me just tell you that much for free. Okay, you wonderful people. Tatty bye. There's going to be some outtakes on the end of this show because I don't think anyone's going to grasp how long it's taken for me to say an actual sentence correctly today. It's insanity. So I hope you find them amusing. God knows I didn't. But in the meantime, in between time, I love you all. Tatty bye. Hello, you wonderful, mootiful, that's not even a word. My maternal grandmother was of Hawaiian descent, but my mum's family lived through the Depression. But there were two things wrong with this assertion. What's that? But there were two things wrong with this assertion. That's too slow. But there were two things wrong with this assertion. Two. One. Oh my God, if that happened to me and somebody just reached out and grabbed me a leg, I'd be like, argh! I can't think what to say. And this was sent in by Carl. And I don't even know if I can use his name. Hold on. Yep, I can't use his name. I should just carry on. What a wally. And I love it when they get these stories in which it adds like a... tripping over your head. It's more like when, you know, when you've gone to a shop. Okay, now. And I leant over and said, no, we're going to a titty bar. So I lean over and I stop the car. I didn't stop the car. She was already getting in it. So why don't you come and join the fun over at www.talkaboutpatreon.com. And of course, when you sign up to Patreon, you will get access to, not only will you get my name sung out. Right, start again. Not only will you get access to each and every, fucking hell, bells. I mean, far be it from me to tell you how to spend your days, but I would find that if you're spending lots of money getting drunk and you feel like I feel right now, then you're not spending your money wisely. No, you need to spend it on something What? Like what? Idiot.